Friday, let's go ahead and pray for the time this morning. Lord, we want to give you thanks and praise this morning. Thank you that as we follow you, it is a happy day. And that's our reasonable service of worship. Thank you that loving you, following you is just the natural course of really helping us to have a happy day. We thank you for this time this morning. We ask you to bless it. Help us to be ones who will take to heart the things that Ashley shares. Thank you for the privilege of being able to meet in freedom this morning and this opportunity to hear your word, and help us to be ones who are doers of your word. So help us to pay close attention and take something very practical away today. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. My name is Ashley. I'm one of the pastors here at New Song, and today is a special Sunday. We are launching our new vision for this year. New Song has a calendar year that ends in January and starts in February, so this is our new theme. We unveiled this. Thank you to whoever brought the no-bake cookies last Sunday night. Those are my favorite. And we had a wonderful banquet here, so many good things, and we unveiled our new theme for the year, Follow Me, based on Luke 9:23. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That is New Song's theme for 2024. And I want to recap briefly some of the things that we talked about last Sunday night. And then I want to just take a basic walk through this verse. What does this verse really say? If we kind of, what would Ashley's amplified version of this verse look like? All right. And then we're going to pivot, I'll come back to that word, to a little bit more of a deeper teaching around the topic, and then we'll wrap up. So that's where we're headed today. So last week we shared that if you go to our website, you've read our Member Matters book lately, you know there are 8 core values of New Song. And I literally copied and pasted these from our website. 2 of those that we want to emphasize this year are church leadership and every member a minister. We believe that not just the pastors have the responsibility for ministry, it belongs to every person who's gifted here. Every person, if you're a believer, God has given you some gifting that you can share. And part of your growth, our growth is operating in that gifting, and we become stagnant if we don't. And church leadership, it's always kind of, you know, Mike and Jack, all right, are aging. And we talk about this all the time. We joke about this all the time, right? I'm not aging, right? But Mike and Jack are anyway. And so we have a number of people who have said, hey, you know, we probably need to start thinking ahead here. Who's going to be next? So that's church leadership raising up from within, one of our core values. And anyway, yeah, in 20 years, they'll be 90, still rocking it for the kingdom. You know, so yes, Ron's back there, throw up the rock fist, all right. Yeah, so as I said last week, I want to begin with a confession from the elders. And just being completely transparent, maybe you're like this. You know, the tyranny of the urgent, you get caught up in the little things. This needs to be done this week. And there are some longer term, more strategic things that the elders simply have not had time to tackle. And it's all our fault for not properly delegating and not properly discipling and raising up other leaders. So there are some other things that we would like to do long term around leadership development, exploring other deeper theological topics. You may notice from time to time, there's some things we just haven't taught on from the front. It's because those require a little bit more careful planning, and we simply are kind of tied up in the daily administration and not having that time to focus on those things. And so that's one of the things we want to begin to work on this year. And quite frankly, I believe it has stunted the growth of our church. The fact that we are not exploring some of these theology areas that we get questions about, and that we've not made a clear path necessarily for you to explore your gifting here. We want to make sure that everyone feels free to do that. And so we have talked about this for years, and again, it's like, yeah, we really need to do that. It's that whole, the long-term important things, but there's all these short-term things that just keep taking our time. So we want to, this year, in faith, begin this process of addressing some of these long-term challenges. So our vision for 2024, then what does that look like? Who will be leading and serving at New Song in the next 5, 10, 20 years? And begin to think about that. And that means enabling ministry areas based on the gifting that Jesus has gathered for us at this time at New Song. Over the years, I've reflected, it's interesting to see as people come and go through the church. You know, if you've been in the church any very long at all, you know, there people move, they have job changes, people come in and they're new to the neighborhood. And so people continually cycle through the church. And it's always interesting to me to say, God, what are you doing with the gifting that you're bringing to us for this time right now? Who are the people that are coming in the door that have things that you want to use in the kingdom, and how can we help them maximize their potential? What you've given them, Lord, how can we give them a place to serve? So that's one of the things that we're thinking about here, right? Side-by-side equipping, you know, Ephesians 4, being equipped with experienced servants, people who are already operating in their gifting, and people who can be mentors. Mentor is our modern word. Disciple is our biblical word. So we want to disciple people side by side, serving alongside one another, because that's how Jesus did it, right? There's also an invitation to follow the elders, to join the board meetings, to join our elder meetings, if that's something you aspire to come and join us. And we'll talk more about this later, but we literally want to invite people into the leadership opportunities and begin to walk beside us, just like the disciples walked beside Jesus. And then Acts 6, a popular passage if you're reading the book of Acts, they appointed deacons to take care of some of the practical daily things so that the elders could focus on the prayer, ministry of the word. And so that's kind of the path that we're on for this beginning this year. We will not finish this year. We will not have a whole new board and a whole new rack of elders. That's not the right. We're going to start this year to begin to put in place the scaffolding and the training and development to help grow everyone sitting here this morning to grow in what God has gifted you with. And when we do that, good things happen. So what will those outcomes look like? We as individuals will grow in our gifting as we have more opportunity to serve, which means that the person sitting beside me will get better care because I'm operating in my gifting and I'm able to share that with them as Christ pours that out through me. We will be able to explore together theological topics. We've talked about having some theological roundtables, perhaps, where we know there are certain people here who are really inclined to discussing theological topics. They like that kind of thing. We do too. It takes time to do that, a lot of reading and research. And so we'd love to have more of an open forum for things like that. And then again, as we said, we're elders are available then to do less firefighting, more long-term vision and planning. And then that means ultimately, New Song will be here for our children. That's what we're thinking forward to the generations ahead, that we, by giving careful thought and intention and prayer to raising up leaders today, they will be serving today and tomorrow and for years to come, so that our children today, we've got 17 little ones at last count, because we lost six recently. Yeah, so I think we're at 17 now, but we're making more. So we'll make sure that they've got a place to grow into this relationship with the Lord. So what do those opportunities look like? On the table on the way out in the lobby today, there's a copy of our annual calendar. You can also look at it on our website. And these events need volunteers. For example, we have a picnic at the end of June and July. Pretty simple. You just need somebody to coordinate it, right? It can be that simple. We've got all these events throughout there. We would love to have a conversation with you about, you know, if you see an event on that calendar that really speaks to you, you'd like to help coordinate and lead, please let us know. And that word lead, people are allergic to that sometimes. If you'd like to help in any way with any of those events, we, you know, for example, we need somebody to really spearhead our harvest party this October. And it's not all just about eating, right? There are ministry events interwoven there as well. You know, we don't have, for example, we don't have dates for our prison outreach this year yet. We haven't heard back from them. So there's some things that could be coming later as well. Other ministry, pull through prayer certainly has been a wonderful highlight every year, twice a year. So we need volunteers to get in and take the reins there. Seek Week this year, we did this a few years ago, but in March we're going to take Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and just spend some time as the body of Christ here, just getting away from our busyness and give some time just to focus and listen to the Lord and what He would have to direct us this year as we consider taking the cross to follow Him. We have the Poland mission trip Jack just spoke about, these theology roundtables we've wanted to do for a while, and then following the elders, following the board leaders. We recently, we updated our bylaws for the church, and we expanded how many board members we can have for the church. The board, just so for your awareness, so the board handles financial, legal, facilities type matters of the church. The elders handle the spiritual matters of the church, keeping it in very simple terms. So we're looking for people who would be interested in serving on the board as well, in a rotating kind of term. So lots of opportunities to share the leadership here at New Song, and we'll have more specifics. There's some we have a punch list of things that we kind of get that take up our time the most that we would like to help other people use their gifting and grow in that area. So we'll be sharing those later. So be patient with us. We're announcing this today. We are building the airplane as we fly it, so to speak. Or changing a tire 65 miles an hour. All those terms you've heard at work, we're building the airplane as we fly it. And that's why I said this is an effort of faith. We believe that God will meet us in this. And that's part of the point as we speak today. So what did it look like when Jesus made disciples? He spent time with them. He loved them. He taught them by His own example, and then He helped them do the same. And this is what we want to imitate as we disciple the next generation of leaders here at New Song. We just want to spend time together and watch, learn, listen together, and work together. And maybe it's a very simplistic way of looking at things. I think it worked pretty well for Jesus and the disciples, and that's what we want to do here. So let's take a look at this verse, Luke 9:23. And He was saying to them all, "If anyone wishes to come after Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me." So what we're going to do now is we're going to walk through this verse. And I did some study, just kind of looking at the original language, trying to figure out what are some of the nuances here that maybe we might miss just in casually reading it. If is a big word. Two letters, if. This is not a sure thing, right? He says, if. He begins by saying, if anyone wants to. If you want to. And what we're going to see this year as we look at this series of Follow Me, Jesus extended the invitation, follow Me, to many people. But not all of them answered yes. Not all of them decided to follow Him. Why? That's what we're going to explore this year. Why did some people choose not to follow Christ? And why did the others? So as we were drafting the banner, Jack mentioned to me, he's like, you know, we had like community of truth. There was a bunch of people, community involved. We had the other one, we were surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. It was kind of more like a group, all of us together going towards this goal. And this one's just kind of this singular one person walking toward the cross. It's a little different. And that's because the passage is that way. This is a decision. Yes, we walk towards the cross together, but you got to make your own decision if you're going to be part of the throng of people walking towards the cross. So just from basic grammar, looking at this passage, He must take up, he or she, is third person singular in grammar three times. That person must deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. Those are all third person singular. That's a singular decision. What I find interesting, though, is the way it starts. In Luke's version of this passage, he says he was saying to them all. This was a crowd that was around him, his disciples. He was saying to all of them, if any one of you. And the way the original language reads is like a certain one. Because if we hear the word anyone, we think of a group, right? Just a nuance. But if we say a certain one, we're thinking, okay, there's one person here that's really considering this. So Jesus is speaking to the crowd, but he says, if one of you, if a certain one of you wants to come after me, this is what it looks like. Now, come after me. You could read that different ways. This is not somebody coming after to beat you up, all right? I'm coming after you. That's not the come after me here, all right? And I find it interesting that John the Baptist uses this exact same expression three times. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, in Matthew 3. In John 1, twice, he uses this phrase, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. And even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I'm not worthy to untie. So this, what does this come after me means? In the way John the Baptist uses this phrase is somebody who's next up. So I'm here now, but there's another one coming after me, right? Which gives us kind of the sequential thing. If you're going to be the next in line to do this thing, all right? And then Jesus uses the phrase multiple times, actually. We'll look at multiple passages where the Gospels reflect the same instance and some other examples, even in the same Gospels, where Jesus says, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So there's a couple different ways we could nuance what that means, to come after me. But it dawned on me, come after me, after me, after me. So John the Baptist says, the one who's coming after me. And then Jesus says, if anyone wishes to come after me. So John's setting up Jesus, who's coming after him. Jesus is setting up other people who could come after him. Who were those people? Well, those were the apostles. Even Paul said, imitate us. Entrust these things to faithful men. These are some of the things that Paul used very similar language here. And then who followed after Paul and the apostles? Well, there's Timothy, Lydia, that guy from Ethiopia, Barnabas, like this whole list of people who came after them. And then eventually we came after them. So this whole sequence, so we have all benefited from others who said yes to the call to follow Christ, and we've received the gospel from them. So there's this continuity of passing on this charge to follow me, come after me, after me, after me. Now, I thought it might be, there's no punctuation in Greek, but if you put a comma after come, maybe, if anyone wants to come after me, it kind of gives a different meaning to it, right? Again, that's just my own interpretation. Follow me up. Be my next successor, right? The next in line. But follow me, though, what's the difference between come after me and follow me? Follow me is more like accompanying me, joining my cause, following, subscribing to my podcast, follow my YouTube channel, right? That's the kind of the way we use that word these days, to follow someone. But it really means more than just physically walking along with them. It means that you believe what they say. You have adjusted your lifestyle to match what they are teaching. You're believing it, and you're demonstrating that belief in your own life, the way you operate. So there's a slight nuance there between those terms. Now, the word deny, that's pretty straightforward. Three times we read in John about Peter denying, the exact same word. There's no nuance here. To deny something, deny someone, That's what it is. The only problem is Peter got it backwards. Jesus said, don't. You're supposed to deny yourself. You're not supposed to deny me. Because if you deny me, then I'll deny you before the Father. So this was very strong word here. To deny yourself, exactly the opposite of what Peter did. He denied Christ instead of denying himself. So there's not a lot of nuance on that word. So John 13, he tells him what's going to happen. John 18, it does happen. He denied Christ three times. We all know that's what we're not supposed to do. So, this part about the cross. Take up your cross was a common phrase in the Roman world. Before the Romans, there were other civilizations that they borrowed this torture from. It started by just simply impaling someone on a vertical stake. Then it went to the cross beam and on a vertical cross. And then they had like the X style. There was a couple different styles of crosses. But typically around this time was the person carrying their own cross beam to this place of execution. And these are a couple quotes I wanted to share from secular writers who obviously not believers of any kind. And Plutarch in the first century in his treatise on morals was talking about how wicked people essentially are bearing their own cross because they're signing their own fate. If you're going to operate in wickedness, you're kind of going to do yourself in eventually because of your behavior. And so he says, as every malefactor who suffers in his body bears his own cross to the place of his execution, so are all the various torments of various wicked actions prepared by the wickedness herself. In the second century, there's this guy from Ephesus named Daldanus, or Artemidorus Daldanus. And he was actually writing up just a secular book on dream interpretation. And in this book, he says, a man about to be nailed to a cross must carry it first. So again, this is just common phraseology in the Roman world because everybody in the Roman Empire had been subjugated by the Roman Empire, meaning there were rebellions that were quelled in every one of these areas. They had seen people carrying a cross. They knew what that meant. And there were even mass crucifixions to 600, 800 people at a time in some places. That we read about in history. So this is a very well-known fact. But how do we do that every day? Jesus in this passage in Luke says, take up your cross daily. Well, we can't physically be crucified every day. That's a one and done. This is obviously a metaphor that Jesus is using. Clearly, he's speaking clearly. And there's a place in Mark, well, we'll look at it in a second, where it says, you know, Jesus often spoke in parables, but here he was speaking clearly, straight up, take your cross daily as a metaphor for dying to ourselves. So who are we following? Follow me. Well, who's this me that you speak of? It's more than just mentorship, more than just a simple follow me. It was the me that they followed. Jesus, full of the Spirit and boldness, intimately connected with the Father. The one they followed was the Son of God, endued with power, the creator of the universe. How could you say no to that? But some people did. So it's not just the denying myself, but it's what I get on the other side of that is who am I following? I'm following the creator of the universe with all power and authority. That's who I'm following. And if I can see that large enough, then we'll talk about the stumbling block in a minute. The stumbling block of denying myself and taking my cross gets smaller. So what would Ashley's Amplified Translation look like of this passage? This is not scripture. All right, this is just my own expanded version here. So if we read Luke 9, it would look something like this. And he was saying to everyone, plural, if a certain one, singular, wants to be up next after me, he must deny himself. Not me. Deny himself, not me. And pick up his cross off the ground every day as if proceeding to the place of his own execution and accompany me, the creator of the universe, by the way, and live by my example. I think that's a robust interpretation of that passage if we try to unpack all the nuance there. So when he says take up, that word take up, it literally means to pick up something off the ground. You're picking up that big, heavy crossbeam, right? And this here, then we're taking up that cross, we're denying ourselves and accompanying him, we're following him, we're believing him, and we're living our lives according to his example. So in this series then, as this is our kickoff Sunday for this series, what are we going to talk about for the rest of the year? We're going to talk about why follow Jesus. What comes after the follow part, right? What's the context of this outrageous invitation? You know, I was talking about this in our life group Thursday night, and someone said, this is not the gospel that you hear on TV preachers, you know, saying, follow me, where are we going, to McDonald's? No, this is not about living, you know, the live your best life gospel, right? This is deny yourself, take the cross gospel. It's a little different. So we're going to unpack this outrageous invitation. We're going to take a look at all the follow me's, all those people we mentioned. Jesus gave that invitation, follow me. Who chose to follow? Who didn't choose to follow? And then Paul talks about the cross a lot in his writings. We'll explore that. And then we're going to take some time as elders to each of us share our own journey of following Christ as examples. Paul held up himself and his other co-laborers as examples to be imitated. We want to take some time to share as we count the cost. Jesus says, we'll read later, count the cost before you make this decision. We'll share about some of the cost that we've counted in our own lives and encourage you that yes, you can do this. You can follow him, and that there are amazing things in store when you do. So those are the types of things we're going to talk about this year. Now, next segment here. Have you ever stubbed your toe? How about your little toe? You know, there's this immovable piece of furniture that is not going to budge, and your little toe just glazing. Oh, man. Come up with some creative vocabulary, maybe. I don't know. So I want to talk about the stumbling block. This is offensive. When you say deny yourself and take the cross, that's offensive to many people. It's a stumbling block. Scripture tells us about the stumbling block. I'll talk about that for a minute. And I find it interesting. We look back in the prophecy of Simeon at the birth of Jesus. They take him to the temple for dedication. And he's had this really weird kind of prophecy for Jesus in Luke 2. You know, normally you're like, oh, you're so blessed and God's going to use you and you're going to do great things. But when you think about, you know, some kind of encouraging prophetic word, but he says, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. Then he has this parenthetical statement to Mary, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. There's some offense coming. There's some difficulty, some confrontation. This one is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and to the point that the motives of people's hearts will be revealed. And that's exactly what Jesus came to do. So I call this the fulcrum of follow me. The fulcrum is a pivot point, right? So what I want to do, just, we're not going to get into all these two chapters here of Luke 9 and 10. Take some time, start to read those, meditate on those passages, and begin as we begin this series this year. So let's look at the broader context of where this call to follow me comes from. Luke chapter 9 begins with Jesus sending out the 12 with nothing. Look, all right. He's like, okay, I know you guys, when you normally travel, you're going to take your neck pillow and your ibuprofen and your special socks and all that. All right, just don't take any of that stuff. All right, you're just going to go out with what I've given you. It's in your heart. You can do this. And they came back. They saw miracles. Those people healed. Luke 9, again, continuing. He feeds the 5,000. He's modeling for them. Hey, I can provide anything you need. Luke 9. Who do men say that I am? So after all these, after the feeding of 5,000, then he says, who do people say that I am? Popular passage. We've read it many times. And Peter says, you are the Christ. And Jesus says, well, this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, Simon. And he goes on to bless Simon Bar-Jonah in that moment, Simon Peter. But then Mark inserts something here that's not in Luke's account. It says, right after he says, you're the Christ, Jesus then speaks to them plainly and says, I'm going to suffer. We're going to read that passage. And Peter says, wait a minute, you're the king. You're the king. You're not supposed to be suffering. You're supposed to be leading strong. And what does Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. I saw something really interesting yesterday when I was looking at this. And so then, well, we're going to get there in a second. So here's what I call the fulcrum, is the follow me. To all the crowds and disciples, Jesus says, follow me. And I find it interesting. He says, I'm going to suffer. And then he says, you're going to suffer. Deny yourself. Take your cross. If you want to follow my example, that's what it means. Follow me. Which, again, this is not the popularity gospel. And then in Luke 10, we go from 12 being sent out to 72. So 60 more people thought that was a good deal and got sent out and commissioned by Jesus. And what happened with them? Miracles. They got teaching. Here's how you do it. Jesus was very clear. Here's what I want you to do. He backed that up with the miracles. He gave them authority, it says. And he said, I saw Satan falling from heaven like lightning. What's interesting to me is he just said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Now Peter's out with the 72 and he's watching Satan fall. Why do we follow Christ? Why do we deny ourselves? Why do we put ourselves through this in our flesh, buffeting our bodies, so to speak, as it says in one place? Why do we do that? Jesus took the disciples, we're going to read this this passage here in a second, but Jesus took the disciples aside privately and said to them, you guys, do you realize you are getting to see things that the prophets, that the kings from hundreds of years ago, they longed for this day, and you are here in the midst of it. You get to see this. You get to do this. You are fulfilling prophecy of the Messiah. This is, you know, there's a lot of rabbis running around Israel, and you could follow any one of them. You're not going to get this, right? This is special. So let's talk about this, Mark 8. So he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. I like the book of Mark, because when you read the book of Mark, it's like he's in a hurry. And he just puts these little nuggets in there. He said this plainly. He was direct, looking them in the eye. I'm going to die, and I've got a bucket list of people to get mad. He lists. He says, the elders, the chief priests, the scribes. I mean, think about I don't like confrontation. I don't know anybody that likes confrontation. So here's Jesus saying, I'm on a mission not only to confront and to offend. Talk about the stumbling block. I'm on a mission to offend all these people. That's my calling. And they're going to kill me for it. And he said this very plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, so he's looking at all of them when he says this, he rebukes Peter and says, get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. And this is the first thing I want us to notice as we look at this fulcrum of the follow me passage. It's a pivot point. Things can go one way or they can go the other, depending on our mindset. He was telling Peter to look up to the things of God, not the things of man. And when we stumble on the deny yourself part, we're not looking up at God and everything that's waiting on us on the other side of that follow me response. It's our mindset, it's what we believe, it's how we operate. So here then is Mark's version of the same passage, and calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." Jesus is expanding on this. Look beyond the things of man to the things of God. Look at the big picture. What in this world is worth your soul? Jesus is trying to help them see the bigger picture here. Now, here's the 12 plus 60, the 72 getting sent out. And I'm going through this pretty quickly because we've got a whole year to unpack this. But Luke 10, he begins by giving them instruction. Hey, look, when you go into a house and they like you, hang out there for a while, right? But if they don't like you, kick the dust off your feet and keep moving, right? That whole thing, you know, he gives them the instruction specifically how this is going to work. And then when they return, I want you to pay attention to what happens here. This is remarkable. They get access to God and all the power and authority of God when they answer yes to follow me. The 72 return with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." And in that same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will." And then turning to the disciples, he said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see. They didn't see it. And to hear what you hear and didn't hear it." What do we get when we say yes to follow me? We get access to God the Father. We get access to the Son of God. And we get to do things you never would have imagined. Never would have imagined. Now, at the risk of sounding like a word of faith preacher, you know, there's this, all these amazing miracles and things that happen, right? But these are the promises that Jesus said would happen to those who are walking in the authority that he's given them. I find it interesting, there's two rejoicers here. The 72 are returning, they're high-fiving. "Did you see that? Wow!" Right? And so they're happy. And then Jesus is happy. Because he's watching people. It's like your kids when you teach them something and then you catch them doing it on their own without your help. And you're like, yes, they were able to, they did it. They're growing, they're learning, they're able to, they're doing it. So we make Jesus happy when he watches us operate in his authority and calling that he has given every one of us. And it's a special privilege. It really is a special privilege to walk with God and see him work through us. We can't claim any credit for any of it. John 15, I'm connected to the vine. It's flowing through me. I get to watch God work and change people's lives. And I can't take any of the credit. I just said yes. And when I said yes all those years ago, I was thinking about this morning. When I said yes all those years ago, it makes the decision in this moment easier. I've already said yes. Whatever it is that's coming to me that looks difficult, I've already said yes. Said yes to follow me all those years ago. And then I just continued to walk that out. So, I can't get a sermon in without a diagram. So this is my fulcrum, the stumbling block, the rise and fall of many, right? Like a seesaw on this fulcrum. Some are going to fall, some are going to rise. And that fulcrum beam is the cross beam right there in the middle, pivoting on the fulcrum. This follow me, which way is it going to go? In Mark 8, Jesus said, you're looking at the things of man. You need to look at the things of God. Because when we're buried in the things of man, the fear of death, we talked about that a couple years ago, a whole message on the fear of death. That's where Satan wants us, afraid, with our heads down, looking at our circumstances. And when we see deny self, take the cross, you're like, no way. That's what Satan wants, right? But if we're looking at the things of God, we're looking beyond that decision to follow me, and we're seeing what's on the other side, we get access to God. He works through us. We will see things we've never seen before. He's going to give us all the it's like signing up for the army, right? All right. Here's your food, here's your clothes, and here's how to use your new emotional support rifle. All right. So here's everything you need. I'm going to give it all to you, right? So there's instruction, there's provision, there's miracles, there's eternal life. Jesus said, hey, look, there's a lot. You guys did a lot of great stuff today. But just look, it all comes down to this. Just rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Right? We get to see God move. And when that happens, Jesus says he watched Satan fall. I don't know about you all, but lately I've seen Satan getting in a lot of shots. I don't like that. Don't like that. Satan's getting in too many shots. And if I can do anything to watch that Jesus can watch Satan fall, I want to be on that team. I want to be on the winning team. I want to watch Satan fall. And every day as I pick up my cross, every day I get to be a part of that, chipping away at what Satan has bound people in this life. Every day, daily, denying myself, taking my cross, and I get to be a part of crumbling what Satan is crumbling in other people's lives. I get to dismantle that with the fruit of the Spirit that God pours out through me, pours out through you. People around us are partaking of that fruit of the Spirit, and they're seeing that things can be different. And they're getting set free by the truth. That is what happens when we say yes to follow me. We get to watch Satan being defeated. There used to be an evangelist who said, Satan's getting shorter every day. He's being defeated. Yeah, he's being defeated. Romans 16:19-20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. So what's the point? Don't stumble on the fear and lies of Satan. If I say yes to Jesus, I get access to Jesus. Salvation, provision, training, participation with him, watching him, doing it with him, victory over Satan. That's what I get. Look to the things of God. And when you hear, follow me, say yes. Say yes. This year, as we're repeating this simple two-word profound call all year long, follow me, say yes. Look past the suffering to the reward. Say yes. So when you see Christ for yourself and he looks you in the eye and asks you directly, follow me, he will lead you where he wants you to serve. And he will meet you there. We have a lot of things to accomplish here at New Song. We have a lot of opportunities to serve. And I've been around the church a long time, and I've led different ways. And I know that when you try to put square pegs in round holes, it doesn't work too well. You are each uniquely gifted and called by God. And we want to see you come alive in that. And I believe that whatever New Song needs right now is sitting right here. God has given you the gifts to fulfill whatever ministry area where we have a need here. God has provided people with the gifting to meet those needs. And so what we're going to do this year is explore together what are those needs and where can I help. So I know this because that's what he did for me and all the others before me. I'm going to share more about this in a few weeks later, but just briefly, I've answered the call to follow me over 40 years now, every day. Follow me. 1977, in a children's church service, I decided, yes, I want to follow. The fulcrum of my college experience, when for me, my Asbury College Bible School experience was summarized entirely by this verse that's our theme this year. Deny self, take the cross, follow me. And I have lived it ever since. I made the decision to put everything on the altar, to lay it all down and to follow Christ at that point. 1997, that got real for us when my wife and my almost 2-year-old son, we put him in a car seat between the two of us in a big Ryder moving truck and took our parents' grandson 600 miles from them to Savannah, Georgia, where we felt like God was leading us. And as a grandparent now, I can appreciate how difficult that was for them. And it was difficult for us. Those were some of the hardest days of our lives. We literally picked up, I left a job for no job. I left an apartment for no apartment. Quite literally, we picked up and followed Jesus. And to what Jack was saying last week, where do we find Jesus? We find him in the difficulty. We found Jesus in responding, yes, to follow. 2015. That was Christmas 2015. Faith Walkers, we had been here 3.5 years at New Song. Faith Walkers is our annual conference with our association of churches that between Christmas and New Year's week, we go down to North Carolina. It's a beautiful location. And we get to hear from others who have done exactly this. They answered yes to follow me, and then they share their stories of what they've seen God do in their lives, the cost that they've counted in their own lives. And we're all encouraged and inspired by that. Worship, it's a wonderful teaching time, growing time. And really met the Lord there as I was trying to contemplate. I'd moved around a lot. And it's like, God, is this really it at New Song? Can we really put down roots here? Is this really where you want us to be? And it's resounding yes. And I was battling with the call. Do I want to surrender to be an elder here at New Song? I felt the Lord calling me to do that. And it was, again, laying down, denying self, taking the cross, and answering yes to follow me. And this was a very... These are some of the most pivotal moments in my life where I said, yes, I will follow. And because of those decisions that I made in the past, now when a decision comes to me that looks like suffering, I can lift up and look at the things of God, not the things of man, and realize on the other side of that, yes, there are big rewards. There are things I'll get to do, places I'll get to go. I'll be connected directly to God as his agent, carrying out his mission here, getting to watch him work and get to see things that other people never got to see or do, people long for. And you know, there are people around us, it doesn't take long in a conversation with a coworker or a neighbor to find out they're missing something in their life. They long to see what Jesus wants to do through you. And it begins with simply sharing the good news with them. So follow me. Every move, every job, Every day I can say that the answer I gave yes to follow me has been met just like we just looked at in Luke 10. All the resources I have ever need have been there when I answered yes to follow me. And I think you'll have the same experience. So when you get that call, follow me, say yes. Say yes. He was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily. Follow me. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time together this morning to look into your word. It is a pivotal moment in our lives when we realize that you have all authority, all provision, everything we need. So often we're looking at our own needs. Our eyes are on the things of man. But when we look at the things of God, we see the hungry that need to be fed, the naked that need to be clothed, the sick and in prison that need to be visited, the orphans, the widows that need to be taken in, Lord. Lord, we want to be about your business. We want to be about your work. And for those here today who are wrestling with that call to follow me, they're stumbling on laying down their own lives, God, I pray that you would lift their gaze, that you would reveal and show them by your Holy Spirit, God, what you have in store. Lord, what is so large, Lord, in the kingdom, what you can do with one willing heart, oh God, will change lives forever. I thank you that you have chosen us and that you have given us everything we need, Lord, on the other side of that yes. Help us to say yes this year, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Ashley. I didn't ask the other elders this, but I know their grace, and I think I know what they'd say. So I'm going to take a minute and share, maybe 2 minutes, my own takeaway from the message today. And I just want to also take this opportunity to propose to you all that this year, we as a congregation, we get in the habit, hey, I'm all for being real. In the chit-chat fellowship time after the official service has ended and we're out in the lobby drinking coffee and yucking it up, okay, talk about the weather, talk about the ball game, your experience at work, your aches and pains, whatever. Fine, talk about them. But can we get in the habit of asking each other or offering to each other, hey, what was your takeaway from today's sermon? Without someone asking you, well, I feel kind of weird saying that. We usually don't do that at your, okay, can we change? Can we try to develop a new habit? And just try to offer to the person you're chatting with, hey, what your main takeaway is, because I'm going to share what my main takeaway is from today's message. And I took a picture of the, sorry, I only have two hands. All right, this is Ashley's Amplified Translation. And he was saying to everyone, plural, if a certain one, singular, wants to be next up after me, he must deny himself. And actually, that thought of next up, the idea that John the Baptist said, there's one coming after me, and then Jesus invited others to then follow him. Obviously, I'm a man, I'm a guy, so I see the world through guy eyes, and I have an interest in sports and things military. I was never in the military. I have two Marine sons. But this concept of next man up, so you guys know what I'm talking about. Perhaps we hear about a football team and the starter in a certain position, he's injured. You know what they say? Next man up. Who's the second stringer? Hey, guess what? You're a first string now. Well, I'm not, I don't know if I'm ready. You're in there. Next man up. That guy goes down. You might know, some of you don't even know this. The Super Bowl is next Sunday. Who cares? I know. But one of the players, this guy, he's a quarterback for the 49ers, Brock Purdy. He's an outspoken evangelical Christian. He was the very last player drafted for the National Football League. He was the 265th player drafted out of Iowa State. Someone had a jersey printed up and it said Mr. Irrelevant on the back. And it was kind of a joke, like, how irrelevant can you be the 265th player? But he's the third string quarterback for the 49ers. The starter went down, next man up. The second stringer guy went in, he went down. Here's this third string quarterback from Iowa State leading the 49ers into the Super Bowl. What a story. You might feel, well, I'm irrelevant. What's my contribution? And I think God is saying to you, and you guys especially will get this. As Ashley said, I'm getting older. He's not, but I am. Mike and I turned 70 this year. Next man up. Which one of you guys is going to step in and say, okay, I want to do my part? One other analogy I mentioned, and I know you mentioned a little bit the military piece. You may know that the Marine Corps is sort of a subset of the Navy. So the medical guys, they don't call them medics in the Marine Corps, they're called corpsmen. They are actually Navy personnel. I don't know if you knew that. And so imagine that you're a Navy guy, and this is actually a true story. One of the guys that raised the flag, the Iwo Jima flag, he was a Navy corpsman. He never wanted to be in the front lines. He thought, if I join the Navy, I won't be in the real thick stuff, you know. But he ended up as a corpsman. And let's say you're a medical person, you're preparing to assist the Marines, and they go into their fight. It's your first battle. And the din of battle and the explosions and the screams, and you hear that call, corpsman up, corpsman up. They need you to duck the bullets and go help that person that just got their arm blown off or needs you to take his innards and put them back in his abdomen. I mean, it's gross, but it's next man up. So that's what I'm taking away from this, that okay, I want to step into whatever God has for me, as tough as it might be. And your thought that once you make the big yes, the daily yeses don't seem to be so intimidating. They're not, in one sense, such a big deal. So sorry to go on and on, but I just so much appreciate the message today. So thanks. Again, remember, after the service, when you're fellowshipping in the back, offer to someone, hey, this was my main takeaway. Maybe you had another idea better than my thought. Okay, great. All right, some announcements. These cool green tumblers with our logo. If you weren't here at the big banquet last Sunday night, you know we're giving these away. Every adult can take one. They are not dishwasher safe, so you got to wash them by hand, but okay. And for the kiddies, the plastic ones, I think you can take several per kid, because we know that some of them are going to be dirty, and you go through a lot of stuff when you have kids. All right. Tonight is the first prayer for the nations of this coming church year. My purpose is not in any way, shape, or form to embarrass anybody, okay? But I'm just curious. If you have never traveled overseas, let's say Canada and Mexico don't count. So, I've been to Canada, I've been to a foreign country. Nah, come on. Excluding Canada and Mexico, you're one of us, Sherry. Come on, you're not a foreigner. Don't give us that foreigner business. All right. Excluding Canada and Mexico, how many of you have never been to a foreign country? Raise your hand. Okay. You have an opportunity to affect what goes on halfway around the world through prayer. When we pray, we move the hand that moves the world. Tonight at 7 is prayer for the nations. We meet once a month to intercede, and we have a goal this year. We are going to pray for, we can't spend a long time, but we're at least going to mention every nation. There are 193 nations on planet Earth. Everyone is important to God. Every person is important to God. And we don't want anyone, we're not going to forget anyone. We're going to pray for, intercede for every country. So we're going to tackle our first 15 or 16 countries tonight by name. So be here at 7. We'll be done by 8. It's a clean 60 minutes. We hit it and we're done. We don't fiddle around. We get down to business. So prayer for the nations tonight here, 7 to 8. We apologize. Ashley was making an apology. I have yet another one, and that is we did not get out the financial reports we had hoped to get out last Sunday night at the big banquet. They are available. Some of you don't care about them. Others of you do, whatever. They're available. So on the table below the bulletin board on your way out are financial reports for this past year for the church. So please take one of those home and peruse it. And any questions, feel free to interact with the elders or with Ron. He also has the charitable giving statements for those of you who are chomping at the bit to get your taxes done. I know I am. So I'm looking forward to getting my copy from him. So he's trying to find people and hand them out. So see him if he hasn't already found you about your charitable giving tax document. Today is a deadline. We'd like you to give the elders feedback, go to our website, and give us some constructive criticism. How can we do a better job of caring for you and leading the church? So elder evaluation feedback, as well as saving $10 by signing up for the marriage conference. Tonight is the deadline, midnight. So if you can get yourself, this flyer has a picture of a dozen roses on it. Now I'm going to take a risk and I'm going to speak on behalf of the wives to the husbands and say, honey, rather than a dozen roses, I would rather you spend the money on investing in our marriage. I have a Honda that has about 280,000 miles on it. Joan and I have been married going on 49 years. Our marriage has some miles on it. Do I do some maintenance to that vehicle? I sure do, because I want it to keep running. You want your marriage to keep flourishing? You think it doesn't need maintenance and attention? It does. So save yourself $10. Do your spouse a favor and go. You can use this flyer and go to the information there, and it'll tell you how to sign up for it. What am I leaving out? I think that's it. Anything I'm leaving out? Don't forget, if you have an interest, at least inquiring and finding out what's involved in being part of the Poland mission trip, after we finish with the benediction, please meet me right up front here for, 10, 12 minutes, and we'll give you some basic information that you'll know how to pray more effectively about your involvement. Okay, thanks for enduring that long announcement time, and Pam's going to close us in prayer.
Lord Jesus, we want to thank you so much that it is worth it to follow you. Many, many of us here have said yes to that. And so we want to be ones who follow you in a greater way this next year. And that's going to look different for different people. So God, we want to be ones who follow you in the way that you have called us. Thank you so much that it's so worth it to follow you. Thank you that the God of the universe is with us. So we thank you for this time. Thank you for the message that was shared. And thank you for the opportunity that several will have to go to Poland this year. So we just ask God that you would be putting that on people's hearts. Maybe that's their follow you for the year. So we want to give you thanks for that. And just thank you for this next day. And I pray, God, that each of us will have something practical that we can have as our takeaway this next week. Thanks for being with us and just for this community of believers here today. Amen.
Stand for the benediction. So I'm going to give you a guess what our benediction is today. Two words: follow me. You're dismissed.